Mrs. Donna McNabb kissed Castillo on the cheek before he was completely through the front door.
Oh, it's good to see you, Charlie.
For God's sake, don't encourage him, General McNabb said. I'm trying to get rid of him before he gets me in trouble again.
How long can you stay?
She asked, ignoring her husband. Maybe an hour and a half, Castillo said.
The Naylors will be really disappointed. They won't be back until tomorrow afternoon.
Me too. It would have been great to see them. She looked at McNabb and said,
Everything's set up on the patio, darling. I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt that this is important and will leave you alone.
Thank you.
It is,
McNabb said, made another follow-me gesture and led Colonel Kingston and Castillo through the house and out back to a walled patio. There was a gas grill, a side table on which sat a plate of T-bone steaks and another of tomatoes, and a small patio table that seated four and had place settings for three. I will now be able to state that my former aide landed here for fuel, and I entertained him at lunch at my quarters, McNabb said. Purely a social occasion. Castillo nodded his understanding. We are having steak and tomatoes, McNabb went on, because I am on a diet that allows me all the meat I want to eat and small portions of fresh vegetables. While I am cooking the steaks, you can bring Kingston up to speed, or as much speed as you feel appropriate.
Yes, sir, Castillo said.
Colonel, I have to begin this with the statement that everything I tell you, or you intuit, is classified top-secret presidential.
Understood, Kingston said.
Maybe it would clear the air a little, Colonel, if I told you that the Secretary of Defense has called General McNabb and instructed him to give you whatever you ask for, and that you would tell us only what you felt was appropriate.
Castillo nodded. He began.
A DEA agent named Timmons has been kidnapped in Paraguay. The president has promised the mayor of Chicago that he will get this guy back and tasked me to do so. And there is one more problem, Castillo said when he had finished explaining what he had planned and the problems he saw in doing it. General McNabb, his mouth full of steak, gestured for him to go on. The agency is apparently running an operation down there to catch these people in the act of bringing drugs into the States aboard cruise ships. They intend to seize the ship. Ships, plural. Under maritime law. A guy named Milton Weiss. He paused to see if either McNabb or Kingston knew of Weiss, and when both shook their heads, went on. Came to see me last night, and as much as told me to butt out. McNabb held up his hand as a signal to wait until he had finished chewing. That took at least 10 seconds. McNabb then said,
That sort of operation, I would think, correct me if I'm wrong, Tom, would be run by the DEA or the Coast Guard, or, for that matter, the Navy. They've got an ONI operation in Key West to do just that sort of thing.
He looked at Kingston, who nodded his agreement.
So what does Montvale have to say about this?
Montvale doesn't know about it, Castillo said.
The agency is up to something like that, and the Director of National Intelligence doesn't know about it?
McNabb said.
Maybe doesn't want to?
Kingston asked.
I don't think he knows, Castillo said.
He was there when the president gave me this job. He didn't think it was a good idea. Neither did Natalie Cohen. I think if he, and now that I think of it, he or Natalie knew about this agency operation, one or the other or both would have used it as an argument to get the president to change his mind.
Unless, of course, they know the president well enough to judge that he was not in a frame of mind to change his mind,
McNabb said. I don't think he knows, Castillo said. I don't think either of them do.
How did this Weiss character know what you're up to?
Kingston asked. Castillo told him about Deschamps and then that Miller had eavesdropped on the session with Weiss and that both were willing to go with him to the president. McNabb thoughtfully chewed another piece of beef, then said,
My advice, Charlie, would be to obey the last lawful order you received. which was to go get the DEA guy back.
I was hoping you'd say that, sir.
That was advice, Charlie. I'm not in a position to give you orders.
Yes, sir, I understand. But thanks for the advice.
I hope it didn't change your mind about anything.
No, sir, it did not.
Good. Maybe you did learn something after all during all those years you were my canape passer.
Castillo chuckled. As long as he had been McNabb's aide-de-camp, he had never passed a canape to the general's guests. McNabb regarded the primary function of an aide-de-camp to be sort of an intern, an opportunity for a junior officer to see how senior officers functioned and learn from it. He wondered if the young captain whom McNabb had sent to feed Niedermeyer, Max, and the Gulfstream crew understood this.
McNabb had never said anything to me. I had to figure it out myself. That was part of the training.
Okay, Tom, what do you think?
McNabb said. And that's something else I learned from Bruce J. McNabb. I'd heard about it at the point, but I learned it from him. A wise officer gets, even if he has to force the issue, the opinions and suggestions of his subordinates before he offers his own and, more importantly, makes any decisions. That way, they say what they think rather than what they think the boss wants to hear.
Nothing, General. But how to get the Hueys down there black,
Kingston said thoughtfully.
That does not pose much of a real problem, except the usual ones, time and money. Castillo wants this done yesterday.
With respect, sir, it's not me who wants it done yesterday, Castillo said. But black outweighs time.
How about money? Kingston asked.
You tell me how much is wanted and where, and Dick Miller will wire it within a matter of hours.
It would be impolitic of you, Tom, McNabb said, to ask where he's getting the money.
My concern is whether there's enough.
There's enough, Castillo said.
Charlie has some experience with how much black costs, McNabb said. So how do we get the Hueys down there, and exactly where do we send them?
Open for a wild hare? Kingston asked.
McNabb nodded.
The Ronald Reagan, Kingston said.
McNabb pursed his lips thoughtfully.
Excuse me?
Castillo asked.
It's an aircraft carrier, Charlie, named after the Gipper,
McNabb said dryly. Kingston added, and it's sailing around the world, or at least down the east coast of South America, and around the Horn, or whatever they call it, and then up the west coast to San Diego.
Onto her, Tom, McNabb corrected him. She's sailing around the world?
Kingston nodded.
If we could get those Hueys onto her, either before she leaves or even after she leaves, they could just be flown off. Wouldn't that make waves?
Castillo asked, and then heard what he had just said and, shaking his head, muttered, Jesus Christ.
I don't think so,
Kingston said, smiling at him.
We could say they're for the press or something. The Navy probably won't like the idea.
The Navy will do what the Secretary of Defense tells it to do, McNabb said flatly.
You have a place where they could be landed, Black? Kingston asked.
I know just the place, Castillo said. But the last time I was in Uruguay, their head cop told me, goodbye and please don't come back.
You want me to set this up with the Navy or not, Charlie? McNabb asked.
Yes, sir, please. I'll find a place to fly them off to before they get there.
Just the Hueys? Or the Hueys and the shooters?
Just the Hueys, Castillo said. We've got a few days. It would be better to send them down as tourists or soccer players, a couple at a time.
No problem with Spanish-speaking A-teams, Tom? McNabb asked.
No.
Get on the Horn to Bragg. I want 4 shooters on their way within 12 hours, different airlines, and 6 every 24 hours thereafter. You have a place for them to go, Charlie?
By the time they get there, I will.
He wrote several telephone numbers on a sheet of paper and handed the paper to Kingston. That's if something happens and Lorimer doesn't meet them at the airport. Kingston nodded his understanding.
We could send the weapons and the gear and the Hueys, Castillo said thoughtfully. If we can't get the Hueys into the country black, we won't need the weapons, and that'll eliminate having to send them under diplomatic cover, which would open a can of worms.
Kingston grunted his approval.
Get the weapons and gear moving to Rucker right away, McNabb ordered. There's a buck general there, Crenshaw, I've dealt with before. I'll get on the horn to him and give him a heads up. Tell him to stash the weapons and gear until Charlie knows what he wants to do with it.
Yes, sir.
I'll also tell him to expect 8 Huey pilots and 4 crew chiefs from the 160th at Campbell, same story. I'll get on the horn to Campbell myself as soon as I can.
Yes, sir, Kingston said.
Anything else for right now?
Kingston looked at Castillo.
The money?
Kingston said. You've got a black account here, sir?
In the base branch of the Wachovia Bank.
If you'll give me the number, sir, I'll get on the horn to Dick Miller, and the money will probably be in it by the close of their business day. How much will you need, sir?
This isn't going to be cheap, Castillo.
Will $1 million cover it for openers, sir?
More than enough, Kingston said.
Wrong answer, Tom, McNabb said.
Probably not, Colonel Castillo, but we can always come back to you for more, right?
Yes, sir.
That's it, then? McNabb asked.
I think that covers just about everything for now, sir, Kingston said.
Yes, sir. Thank you both. Why don't we see if Miller is going to have any problems getting the money down here before I start loaning you money from my special funds? McNabb said.
Castillo took his cellular phone from his pocket. Kingston handed him a slip of paper. 90 seconds later, Castillo broke the connection.
Done, sir. Major Miller sends his compliments, sir. Story going around is that he's being retired medically, true?
Yes, sir. First of the month. He's going to work for me.
McNabb shook his head.
Goddamn shame, he said,
and then heard what he had said.
I don't mean he's working for you, Charlie. I meant his being involuntarily retired.
Yes, sir, it is.
McNabb shook his head and then smiled.
Okay. Those shrill, girlish giggles you may have been hearing are those made by my wife when she is playing with a dog. I suspect everybody's here. Once again, my timing is perfect.
He began to scrape the meat scraps from his plate onto another and then reached for Castillo's plate.
That animal of yours eats meat, right?
Yes, sir, he does.
When they went into the house, Mrs. Bruce J. McNabb was already feeding Max.
Charlie, he's adorable, she said. And he really loves chocolate, doesn't he? That's his 4th Hershey bar.